Tammy Lorraine Huerta Fender, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Stuart.
Now, this book is really a fun read. I enjoyed it very much, and it's packed with lots of pictures, lots of interesting stories, and your father certainly knew a lot of really interesting people and had gone to a lot of interesting places and lots of interesting places and periods in his life. And so tell us a little bit about this book. This is really volume one of a two-volume biography on Freddie Fender.
That's correct, Stuart. Originally, it was just one book. And I talked it over with my online publisher, and it was just so massive. There is no biography like this. Usually a biography has maybe 10 pictures at the most. And with my books, and the chapters and the stories, it turned out to be like almost 800 images. And some of them are like 45 records and documents and Freddie's ledgers when he first just signed a record session for I Am More, which is his first song he ever wrote, composition in Okinawa, Japan, when he was in the Marines. And the flip side was No Seas Cruel, Don't Be Cruel, a song made famous by Elvis. It was just so massive that I just thought, you know, because it is divided into three parts, and that is the rise of my father, achieving the great American dream, and then there's the fall. It's only a few chapters, which is the dark side that he did want to be told. And then the redemption, which is really awesome, and that's about 15 chapters. So if anything, I wanted people to know what Freddie had gone through, all the struggles and the obstacles and the racial that he endured in the music industry and even within his own people, the Mexicanos, because when Freddie had gotten back from Japan, being in the Marines, he came back in a brig, and he was already having a little bit of drinking problems there. But he's a kid. You know, he was a kid when he joined. As a matter of fact, he was underage when he joined. At the age of 16.
16 when he joined.
That's exactly. Yeah. And he wanted to go because he had seen a movie of John Wayne,
Sands of Iwo Jima, as a matter of fact.
Exactly, exactly. And he wanted to, he wanted to stop hustling the streets. His father was died at a young age at 8, and he did become a child migrant worker. But Freddie was a hustler, and he stole, and he did this and that. He was, him and his brothers were, they were hoodlums, and they're in the barrio. But he was tired of that, and he wanted to join. But the thing is, the first book is really, it's all about that. And even the Mexicanos just didn't like him being singing English music, He didn't really care for Chicano music, even though he had won some talent shows when he was only like 10 years old. But Freddie had gotten into Spanish rock, and This Is Where I Stay. I wanted to do this book for him, too, because I wanted people to know that Freddie was the first one to do Spanish rock and to actually be a Spanish, an established Spanish rocker. That's what he was called in for. And as you'll begin to read, you'll understand what happened to him and what the music producers at Falcon Records wanted to do with him. They made him into the Mexican Elvis, and they named him the Bebop Kid, And so even though his own people, our culture, were beating him up after the show, and he would purposely provoke them and sing more, Western music, and rock and roll, but in Spanish. And that's what he did, and he loved it, and that's what he dug, and then he just became rhythm and blues, really that's what he loved, and playing the guitar. But this first book, again, is his rise to achieving the great American dream and what a man does, But the second book is really my masterpiece, is what God did with Freddie after that, He went through all that, and he really got deep into the addiction with heroin and cocaine, and we were there. I was there, and I was part of it. And it destroys the family. But God did something awesome with Freddie, you know, and he made him into an example, and Freddie knew that. When he got sober, he knew what had happened to him, and God made him into an example to that, even to the other musicians and that he had around him, and the Texas Tornadoes and other artists, and he'd say, hey, you know, you better cut that, you know, stuff out, you know, and he would say, well, you're the one that started us. But I mean, you know, these were men, grown men, you know, but he had changed his ways, you know, and he wasn't preaching. He wasn't nothing like that. Freddie lived, you know, he walked the walk, you know, and he talked the talk, and he just, he was just so lovable, a huge persona, and the people just loved him for his music, but I think they really loved his voice, and they just loved being around Freddie, and so I had to divide the book into two. If anything, I wanted him to know, the people to know the rise, what happened to him, and that he did achieve it, no matter what, you know, because I remember those little stories, you know, being told to me by my cousins. You know, he's out in the field at 12 years old. When you're picking cotton, you know, the rule is, you know, when you're under 12 years old, you could be a water boy, you know. But after you're 12 and he was 13, you have to pick the cotton, and he didn't like that. So he was getting his fingers pricked all the time, and so he would use a stick because he wanted to play the guitar, the three-string guitar he was given by one of his friends with no backside. So, But to me, the most important part, really, the essence of it is his stepfather wasn't even legal stepfather, but after his dad died, you know, a man came in, and he was a big troquero, you know, and he grabbed Freddie and his little brothers and sisters and took them all to the fields, and they were all there, you know, just picking cotton, tomatoes, pepinos out there in the north, everywhere he went. But what was amazing, what happened was that, yes, you know, he might have been a taskmaster and abusive to Freddie and his mother and his siblings, but because of that too, something happened. He was listening to all these different music genres. You know, he would hear the hillbillies coming in. You can hear them in the back of their truck going through the fields, and they'd be singing hillbilly music. You know, and then Freddie would, you know, across the campsite there in the fields, you'd see, you know, the black folks, you know, and they'd be picking whatever was in season in harvest, and listening to the gospel music, you know, and the soul music. And people don't know this much about my father, but I guess you can say my dad was a soul man, almost like a black man, you know, and Freddie played music with black people a lot, even when it was against the law to be doing that, you know, and there's a lot of stories about racism and all that in the book, you know, even when he went to prison, you know, he had gotten locked up for a whole week for playing guitar with a black man, you know, I mean, but that was Freddie, there was no boundaries, he was a rebel. And he crossed over to rock and country, and that's how he got famous by default, because you couldn't hold Freddie in one arena, you know? And so we turned out with two books.
Well, it's the second one. Now, the first one is titled Wasted Days and Wasted Nights, big hit song for Freddie Fender. And going through this, you have spent a lot of time talking with childhood friends, going all the way up into adult from Baldimar Huerta of San Benito to this great, great star of Spanish rock and also of country music and everything. What did you learn about your father that maybe you hadn't known before? Can you think about anything like that? Because I learned something when I was reading the book, that because I'd seen your father perform several times,
yes,
with the Texas Tornadoes, and the performances were just my late wife and I just loved your father and his performances, and I was surprised to learn that he was a bit of a news junkie. He kept up on current events. He knew a lot about things that were going on outside the sphere of the music.
Yes. One thing that I do get into is in the second book, the sequel, is Freddie was invited to Vanderbilt University and other universities, and one by Jim Fogelson. He was on the board of the CMA awards, you know, board members there. And then also he was the president of ABC Dot Records. And he loved Freddie. It was him and Jim Halsey, who was the biggest agency, booking agency in the world. He had the biggest stable, you know, Dolly Parton, anybody who was anybody in the 70s and 80s of country music. And so when something magical happened one night in Las Vegas, and I'm going to leave that story, but this is what happened to Freddie. He did become a star overnight, an overnight sensation. Because what Freddie would have been a star at the age of 23, but because he got arrested, and it's just a story that you're not even going to believe what happened to him. But I found on these charts by research, because I guess you can say I'm a digger, and we found these links of Cashbox back in 1960 in July, I think it's the 23rd and the 30th. So while Freddie was in prison and he couldn't push Wasted Days and Wasted Nights anymore,